and welcome back to the next episode of the podcast Discipleship in Challenging Times. My name is Peter Morden, and as I've said previously, it's a great privilege to be able to share these thoughts with you. And I just very briefly want to give personal testimony about how God is challenging me as we look at his word together. My prayer for you is that he might be challenging you as well and bringing your lives more and more into conformity with his will. Let's pray now that that would indeed be the case. Lord, we want to be shaped by your word and by your spirit. We want to become the people that you call us to be, full of light and love and gospel hope. People who have a firm foundation for their faith, so that when the storms come, when the winds and the waves and the rain beats upon the house, Lord, that house will stand because of the firm foundations that have been laid on the rock of Jesus Christ and his word. Lord, these are such attractive and wonderful things, and we want to really press into them. And yet we know that sometimes the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Strengthen us in every way today to hear your word and respond to it, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we are reading from Matthew chapter 8 and some really challenging words of Jesus that call us to commitment. So Matthew chapter 8 and beginning at verse 18. When Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross over to the other side of the lake. Then a teacher of the law came to him and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Another disciple said to him, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus told him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead." These words are perhaps angular, sharp, difficult for us to hear. And it's important that we hear what Jesus is saying and we don't mishear him. Final verse there, verse 22, "Let the dead bury their own dead." Jesus' response to the guy who says, "First let me go and bury my father." That sounds incredibly harsh. Aren't funerals so important? And isn't this part of our responsibility and duty, let alone something that we want to do out of love, to bury our own fathers? Absolutely, this is the case. And the scriptures tell us, honour our father and mother. And we see Jesus very much honouring his own earthly mother in his own life. What is happening here is almost certainly that the father of the man who comes is still very much alive and kicking. And the disciple, so-called, is wanting to wait for a number of years before following Jesus. You know, I want to be with my father. I want to wait until he's died, and then perhaps I will come and follow you. And Jesus challenges him that those who want to follow him need to give up everything and need to be focused and fixed on him. And just as we shouldn't mishear Jesus, so we mustn't smooth out the challenge of these words. And to enable us to hear it better and respond, I've been drawn to an essay by C.S. Lewis, first written in 1940, where Lewis talks about three kinds of person and three kinds of commitment. Sometimes we can think that you're either committed or you're not. But Lewis says this is a big mistake, because there is a third kind of person, someone who sits in the middle. It's someone who sort of follows Jesus but doesn't, rather like the final disciple in Jesus' two examples. Someone who is half in and half out. Someone who is sort of committed, but who isn't. Lewis uses the illustration of someone who pays their taxes. We sort of give our taxes to God. We might also think of an insurance policy. It's almost as if we think, well, it might be true, and we're going to take out the insurance policy, and we're going to engage with a church, we're going to read the Bible, we're perhaps going to give to church, but yet we're not all in. And so we want to spend most of our investment, most of our time, most of our commitment focusing on other things. And I think it's to that third kind of person that these verses speak. I've been challenged so much myself thinking about these verses in recent days. Am I really all in as far as following Jesus is concerned? A story that might help us, of a boy in a church service that was a fairly traditional service, and the stewards were coming round with offering plates to collect the financial offering that some people were bringing. This steward held the big brass plate in front of a boy, and he said to the stewards, "Can you hold it a little bit lower?" And the steward thought that this young boy was perhaps struggling to reach up to put something in the plate, so obligingly he stooped down and held the plate a bit lower down. But then the boy said, "No, lower still." And again the plate went down. And then, "No, I want you to hold it really, really low." And the stewards, again obligingly, put the plate on the ground. The boy got out of his seat and stepped onto the plate and stood on it as a sign that he was offering his whole self, his very self, to God. What kind of person are we? Are we just completely rejecting the claims of God? Probably not. Are we someone who views God as someone we have to pay taxes to, take out an insurance policy with? If that's the case, then I want to encourage you to be absolutely all in with God, to be committed to him, to step onto the plate, as it were, as a sign that from this day forward, we're going to give ourselves to God. And a postscript for this is that when we do this, we have real joy. Lewis makes the point that someone who is completely rejecting God has joy of a sort. They are maybe engaging in all sorts of things in the wider world that are damaging, but maybe give a little bit of joy for just a few moments. On the other wing, there is the person who is fully committed to God, who finds their joy in Jesus, and that is joy indeed. But the person in the middle, the person who is sort of half in, half out, they have very little joy. Often they are the most miserable of people. I want to encourage you to take a step, not back into worldly ways of thinking, but forward into all that Jesus has for you. When you do that, you will find that God is no one's debtor. For whatever we give to him, he will repay to us abundantly, again and again. Let's pause together and pray. Lord God, we thank you and we praise you for these challenging verses, these verses that come like a splash of cold water in the face, that wake us up, that shake us up, that confront us with a need to respond. Lord, we want to respond to you. And we pray that we would heed the call to follow your Son, the Lord Jesus, and to be all in for him. Lord, we ask that you would forgive us for the times that we've seen investing in you as a little bit like paying taxes or taking out an insurance policy. We've wanted to hedge our bets. We've wanted to have one foot in the world, to use the Bible's terms, and one foot in the gospel camp following you. We recognize also that this is a pretty miserable way to live. And we want to embrace the adventure, the excitement, and indeed the joy that you have for us as we abandon all to follow you. Show us what this looks like. Show us what this means for us in our own particular set of circumstances. And help us to respond in real and concrete ways, even today, as we say to you, we want to offer everything to you. We want to follow your Son wherever he may take us. In Jesus' name, amen.